This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it up, whether it's inspections, routine, difficult, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. All right, it's always great when we get Brett McMurphy on the show. Brett, welcome back. It's so great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Doing well. How about you?
Hey, I don't know if you heard or not, Gonzaga's going to Pac-12. Some random no-name journalist reported that a week ago, and nobody believed him. But, yeah, that's what's going on today.
Actually, when I gave you attribution on the show last week as that random no-name journalist, I thought it was – it seemed right – is it I'm going to maybe guess a little bit here, but is Gonzaga going to get a full share in the Pac-12 when this is all said and done, like a football school?
That's what I was told when I initially, you know, reported that back on September 23rd. Certainly things can change. They still have to get another football member. You know, at that time they were just bringing Utah State on board. From the sources that correctly told me Gonzaga was going to the Pac-12, the understanding was, yes, they would receive a full share. I don't know if that has officially been determined yet. And to be honest, Steve, I don't think it will be until they get in the eighth football member and can sit down and pass all this out. And also, look, they still got to go to market. They got to get a meteorites deal with the new configuration. But you know, I think it's a great move for the Pac-12. I know you don't want to talk about basketball, but certainly, you know, with what they were left with and what, you know, their options that they realistically had for the Pac-12 all smelled like bad fish. So being able to get somebody like Gonzaga into that league for a basketball partnership is huge for the Pac-12. And you know, kind of like that Neil Young song, to paraphrase, realignment never sleeps.
Well, I'm going to my 43rd season announcing Penn State basketball, so I'll talk hoops anytime. That's not a problem.
Okay, there you go.
All right. Okay. Now, before I get back to the Pac-12, UTEP is going to go to, it looks like, the Mountain West for them. What kind of fit is that for the Mountain West to then step in and be a replacement team?
Well, look, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. They have not been that great in football. They are located in the state of Texas, which opens up that state recruiting-wise. They are, you know, you know your hoops. They've been better than most in basketball. Mm-hmm. They've had some good success there. You know, basically at this point, Steve, you know, we've gone past the point of the Big Ten adding the four Pac-12 schools, and we're past the point of the SEC going with Texas and OU. Now, basically, it's the trickle-down effect, and now these conferences further down the totem pole are basically in a survival mode. Yep. And they're just grabbing warm bodies so they can keep their membership above 8 to stay an NCAA FBS conference and qualify for the college football playoff. That's what they're doing. So all things considered, getting UTEP is not bad for the Mountain West. It makes sense from a geography standpoint. I also reported last week that they are having conversations the Mountain West with Northern Illinois and Toledo out of the MAC. Yes,
yeah.
Folks, they could destroy MACtion for us, which I know a lot of your listeners love. Why in the world are they doing that? People are wondering. Well, those guys would be football-only members. And what that would do is, I talked a little bit earlier about the Pac-12 and their media rights deals. The Mountain West, and their, when they go back to the negotiating table for their media rights deal, they potentially could have a conference, the only conference in America, hang the banner, that spans five time zones.
Oh, yeah.
The four in the continental United States and Hawaii.
Yeah.
So for a network, that adds a lot of value. When you're able to put games on from noon to midnight, now they're not going to make anywhere close to power conference money. But if they can just increase, they're only at $5 million right now. So potentially maybe they can increase that up to $7 million per team, $8 million, maybe right. $10 million, who knows. But any kind of increase in today's market is huge. And so that's why, Steve, they're looking to dip into into the MAC and potentially, it's not going to destroy MACtion. MACtion will always survive.
Yeah.
As I've said, and this is a compliment, when the world ends, only two things will survive, and that is cockroaches and the MAC. So they'll be fine. They just may lose two of their members.
All right, so let's have with the audience, let's have a little fun of geography. El Paso is actually closer to Los Angeles than Houston, even though they're in the same state with Houston, and Toledo is actually closer to London than Hawaii. So other than
I saw the Toledo beat guys reporting that. Oh my god, dude, they're not playing every year at Hawaii, okay?
Right.
So when the Hawaii Bowl has an invitation, Toledo can't go to the Hawaii Bowl because it's too far. I mean, give me a break. I mean, I understand the regional and the beauty of the MAC is that everybody is right there. It's an old school conference, and I love that. And by the way, I hate conference realignment for what it's done for college athletics. But yeah, you're right. You can make all these comparisons about. You're closer to Africa than you are to Hawaii. I mean, some of these schools may be closer to the moon than they are to some of their conference members at this point.
All right, so now let me throw out an interesting chip, and that is Texas State, which has been, FBS for 12, 13 years now, right? Yep. In this lower-level realignment, what kind of chip potentially is Texas State in terms of people wanting them?
Well, going back to the desperate times segment of realignment, that's basically where we're at. The Mountain West needs one more. They talked to Texas State. Texas State would rather go to the Pac-12. So that ain't happening. Sorry, Bobcats. Pac-12 does not have any interest in Texas State. So Texas State, has a decision. They can go to the Mountain West, or they can remain in the Sun Belt, and then if there is movement with the American, maybe some teams leave the American, maybe to re-engage with the Pac-12, or potentially if the American loses school, now we're getting several years down the road, the American loses schools to the ACC, if the ACC loses schools, then maybe Texas State has their sights on getting to the American or something like that, but
right.
They're not going to the Pac-12. I think it'd be a good fit for both Texas State and the Mountain West. You establish another brand in Texas.
Yep.
Gives you two schools in Texas. They haven't had a school in Texas since TCU back in 2011. That's kind of the next. If you're kind of playing along at home, that's kind of the next one to keep your eye on. Is does Texas State go to the Mountain West? And if not, then Mountain West still has to come up with one more full member.
So then for the Pac-12, which needs to come up with one more, give me a couple of candidates.
So I'm not reporting this, but my opinion is I think the Pac-12 takes a breath. They've got Gonzaga in, and I think they take a couple of months, and they kind of reevaluate everything, and I think they make another run at the schools in the American.
Okay.
Steve, I don't think there's anything else out there that they can. I mean, look, if they want to go at Sacramento State or Montana State or North Dakota State,
right? Yeah.
somebody like that, that doesn't make a lot of sense. You just brought on Gonzaga. You know, the question is, can they get enough money out of their media deal to convince those teams to leave the American? Because those teams from the American, you know, it's a lateral move to the Pac-12. You're not a power conference.
Right.
So if they're not making more money to, you know, take on all that additional travel, it's not going to make sense. But that's what I think will happen. That's my opinion, not reporting, but that's my opinion on what I think the Pac-12 ultimately does. But of course, if I confirm it and I know it's happening, I will happily tweet it and then watch everybody tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, right. I know. You seem to be right about a lot of stuff. So for all the people who want to say I think he's wrong. No, he's right.
Well, it's funny. When somebody doesn't report something, then it's, okay, we need to debunk this report. You know, look, I get beat on stories all the time. I'm fine with that. You know, but anyway, sorry.
Right. No, it's fine. That, which now gets me to the Nashville meeting, SEC, Big Ten. You know, they mentioned scheduling or whatever, and we all know the SEC has 8 conference games, the Big Ten has 9. But in the end, is this an SEC Big Ten power play on getting as many as 4 automatic bids for each conference in the college football playoff? I mean, is that a possibility with this?
Well, I think it's to get everybody together and just kind of have these discussions face to face and decide what exactly they want going forward. What exactly do they want? I know Tony Petitti's a big proponent of 4 automatic bids for those 2 conferences. Obviously, you know, the other 7 conferences disagree, but guess what? The other 7 conferences don't matter. That's just the reality of it.
Yeah.
You know, as far as scheduling agreements, I think that's something that would be another baby step, but a step towards we're going to get to some point down the road where the SEC and the Big Ten kind of take their ball and they go play their own game. They do their own playoff. They do their own season. They do it's NFL light, if you will.
Yeah.
I don't think necessarily, Steve, they want to do that, but if they can't get what they want, then that's the hammer that they can always threaten. So, you know, all the projections right now for my projections at Action Network for the playoff and for all the bowl games, I think I have 7 from the Big Ten and from the SEC. So basically almost 8, but they're not automatic. Those are teams that I feel are going to be up there. If there's ever a year where the 3rd and 4th team from those power leagues, you know, have 4 losses, I don't think they should be guaranteed a spot in the playoff. They disagree. And also, I think, you know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? What comes first is the 4 automatic bids guaranteed before you do the scheduling agreement.
That's
because that way you're not concerned if you suffer some more losses, because you know basically if I'm in the top 4 in the Big Ten, I'm guaranteed a spot in the playoff, whether I'm 10-2 or whether I'm 8-4. You know, I don't think anything concrete's going to come out of this, any kind of announcement or agreement. I just think it's another step in talking and seeing what they want to do. But again, because keep in mind, all of the commissioners will not determine the format of the playoff starting in 2026 until after this season is completed.
That's right.
So they can decide what they want to do. They can float the trial balloon. I'm sure a number of people will report it after the meeting to get, you know, kind of, you know, get the finger up in the air and see which way the wind's blowing on the reaction. But no matter what they discuss, won't officially be announced after that meeting. But obviously, it'll give us kind of a hint of what they're thinking about in the future. And you're right, real quick, about what you said about the SEC. I don't think the Big Ten is going to be on board until the SEC goes to 9 games within their own conference, which I think that will happen once ESPN will give the SEC the money they feel they deserve by adding another conference game.
Right, exactly. ESPN will give them money for more inventory. Simple as that. And I agree with you completely. My opinion is the same as yours, that, look, they want to get the 4 automatics reach conference, that's a far greater priority, and then the scheduling part comes after that. What do you think of the opening month of the season so far? What has struck you?
What struck me is I felt before the season I said this, and I'm probably going to be wrong, but we'll see. I said the Big Ten and SEC champ would both have two losses. We'll see if that happens. You know, Georgia proved they're human. I mean, basically right now, everybody but Texas has looked like beatable. There's only four schools right now that have not trailed in a game this season. Real quick, you know who they are?
Four schools
One
they haven't.
Big Ten.
Four schools haven't trailed in a game this season. Ohio State.
Wrong.
Wow.
Indiana.
Akron, that's right. Yeah, you know, that's right. That's right. Indiana has not trailed all season. I mean,
Indiana, the Mighty Hoosiers. Indiana, Texas, Tennessee, and Army. How about that?
Wow.
So I guess my takeaway is I don't think there's really been a dominant team yet. I know Texas has looked really good. I'm not sold on them yet. I still think Michigan's an 8-win team. I think it's, you know, pretty telling. The Big Ten came out and changed the rules midseason when they botched the onside kick, or Michigan could have lost that game.
Yep.
You know what? I'm not just sucking up to the home crowd here, but my God, Penn State looks like a totally different team on offense with Andy as offensive coordinator. And, you know, this is, yes, Penn State fans, I'll die on this hill. This is the year you finally make the playoffs. They had to expand it, but I feel good for you this year. But what Franklin's done there, he's got him, going in the right direction. They look really good. Some people that I value their opinion a lot, that are a lot smarter than me, they actually like Penn State. Is a good value play to win the Big Ten.
I can't
disagree with that.
Yeah, in the end, how interested are you going to see? I know it's a once a week deal, but the reality of traveling back and forth yet hasn't set in for anybody. I know Washington just did it at Rutgers. How interested are you to see if there's an attrition rate in November for the West Coast teams once they do have to start traveling east and then going back?
It's funny. If they win, everyone's going to say it's not that big a deal. If they lose, everyone's going to blame the travel. I don't really think it's going to be an impact. I forgot. It was Lincoln Riley who said, teams do this in the NFL all the time. Why is it such a big deal for college kids?
Right.
And I kind of agree with that. They're not student athletes anymore. They're players. They're getting paid. They do go to classes, allegedly. They do have other responsibilities. But bottom line, they're getting treated as well as the professionals. They're chartered flights. They're not sitting in the, we don't see them sitting in the Delta, terminal A2 waiting for the plane to get there. So, Steve, I really don't think it's going to matter, because the schedules are made out to give teams the travel a break. I know Miami's playing at Cal this week.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm already trying to get a woke versus Coke t-shirt. I talked to Miami. They're going out a day early Thursday, right. And they're not coming back until they're not leaving until Sunday. They're like, they're not even going to do a red eye. They're just going to sleep in, get up Sunday, come back. They're off the next week. So also the conferences have done a good job. You know, teams that are traveling cross country, to give them an extra day, give them an off week, to give them some extra time. Yeah. Kind of similar when teams go play at Hawaii, or when teams go play at Africa.
Right. See, I completely agree with that. I've been telling everybody when I go out to speak, I said, to be honest with you, to me, you have to do it the right way. I said, but it's no big deal. Penn State, when they go to USC next week, is going Thursday as well. So,
They'll figure it out. You adjust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, always a pleasure. You make this like, boom, it goes like that. Thank you so much for the time, as always, Brett. I can't wait to talk with you again.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Thanks for putting up with me. Take care,
buddy. Oh, putting up with you. You're great. Thanks, Brett. Brett McMurphy, Action Network. Crammed a lot of info in there. Remember, the suit complains about going to Jersey Shore. I mean, that's...
In his defense, he has to drive.
Okay. Okay. In his defense, he has to drive. Oh, yeah. Actually, in the defense of Dave Ritchie, he has to be a passenger.
Yeah, that's true.
As the suit drives. Wow. You want to find religion fast, have that experience. Mm-hmm. All right. he's feeling better, by the way. He's got a way to go, but the suit's feeling better. Ah. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.